Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by John Fashanu, who's going to appear on Dancing in Ice. He was talking us through that.
It was good.
He talked a bit of Wimbledon and old school strikers making a comeback. We had a chat with Martin Kellner, as always, squad number nine. He looked at a week of sport on TV. He'd watched a very, very interesting documentary, hadn't he, that may have passed you by. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
You came up with some good stories, as you always do, so I think that should just about do you. Here it is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy. And I think, along with everybody in the world of football, we're saddened by the news of Luca Vialli's passing earlier on today. I think... my time at Chelsea kind of coincided with some of his, and he was just the loveliest of men. You know, you'd see him at the club, and he was the same with everybody, sort of top to bottom, who worked there, and was very approachable, and was never, as he once put it, Billy Big Potatoes around anybody, and was a really solid, lovely guy. And it's obviously tragic to lose someone at that age, and he gave us so many great memories as a player. But purely as a person, it is tragic, because he was a lovely fella.
Lovely man, and a club legend, a wonderful striker. I loved him as a striker. He had that thing of taking the ball early, and it made him so effective. Mm. And certain games stick out, like the game against Liverpool, the comeback there, the game against Napoli when he was managing, and the players had champagne beforehand, and just everything. I mean, he's a big part of what Chelsea did. Without him and without Hullet, and I suppose without Bates bringing them in, there wouldn't be Abramovich, and there wouldn't have been the last glorious 20 years.
No, absolutely.
You know, so it was all linked, and very, very sad, no doubt about it. And as I say, I loved him as a bloke, loved him as a player. I remember that famous, I think it was the 6-1 win at the Lane, where
Hullet
refused
to
bring him on, and he was smoking, he had a cigarette on the bench.
Yeah, I think he could have had a cigarette during the game. I was working at Chelsea then, so imagine going back to work on the Monday after losing 6-1. But we'll be paying a fuller tribute with Rick Glanville, the Chelsea historian, putting his efforts in this country in the context at the Bridge. And also we'll speak to Tancredi Palmieri, obviously mourning in Italy. He was a great Italian international, played for Samp.
But even when they won, we've seen the pictures this morning, when they won the Euros in 21
of course,
with his great mate Mancini, and that was a lovely moment too.
So we'll be reflecting on that with Tancredi a little bit later on in the show. But Tim, you were at the game last night, and I thought you played rather well.
I thought we played
probably
all right.
Were worthy of a point.
Before the game, I said to a friend I was with, I said, all I want tonight is for them to play with spirit.
Yeah,
I don't expect them to win, but I want them to put up a good performance, and that's exactly what they did, you know. And it's really difficult. I mean, I was listening to Jamie O'Hara on the way home, and I just didn't agree with him. You know, he said, what's going wrong with Chelsea? You know, they're 10th. This is not acceptable. You think, come on, mate. They've got 10 first-team players injured.
Yeah.
Take 10 first-team players out of Spurs. Where would they be?
Oh, yeah.
Take 10 first-team players out of any team in the Premier League. We saw with Leeds last year, they had that similar amount of injuries.
Yeah.
They didn't win a game. And it was only when they got their players back, they won the last few games, that they stayed up. And it's going to be tough for Chelsea. It's certainly, you know, I feel for Potter, really. Mm. And there have been signs at times under his reign where they look like they can play some nice football. And so I think you're just going to have to be patient. And if I was Todd Bowley, I'd be really, really looking at the physio, the sports science, the whole thing, because there's too many injuries. I mean, all right, Pulisic, that can happen in a game. That was a different, that's an impact injury. But there are too many injuries in training, too many knees, too many hamstrings. It's not acceptable. You know, you've got to have injury prevention. I mean, I think the one that sticks in my mind was Chilwell. He comes back. He's had a difficult journey back. He starts to play well. He has a game where he's playing really well. And he's got Cucurella on the bench. And you think, well, don't make him go. I thought this, and I'm not being wise off the man. I thought, don't make him play the whole 90 minutes. Bring that other fellow on and then take him off, and that'll be great. No, he makes him play the whole 90 minutes. And then he pulls his hamstring in the 93rd minute. You think, oh, brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant.
So now, you think some of the game management injuries have not been great?
I don't think so. You know, I think that's all, you know, aren't they all supposed to know when they're in the red zone and all that, isn't it?
Well, when you look at the list of players missing, Kante, Reece James, Mendy, Fofana, Brozier, Loftus-Cheek, Chilwell, Mount, and now Sterling and Pulisic.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That is a lot of important players.
And the problem is, when you as a Leeds fan, when you've got a lot of players out, the players who are there have to play too much. Yeah. So they get tired, they get injured and stay out. And that's, so you've got no rotation. I mean, he's got, you know, it's really difficult. You know, I feel for him as, in a way. He couldn't have had a worse start. You know, you get City in the Carabao Cup, then you play City in the league with like 10 players missing. And then you've got to go 3 days later, play them in the Cup away with what? You know,
it seems at the end of the game it wasn't booing or jeering.
Oh, no,
or anything.
I think people thought, you know, the team did well. They did do well. And, you know, like we saw with Arsenal, you know, that if you give a manager time, and we've got some brilliant young players.
Yeah. We brought a couple on last night, didn't we?
What I don't understand is this link between the youth setup and Bowley and the people who are buying the players. I can't believe, you know, they didn't say to him, don't buy Cucurella. He's a good player, but don't buy him because we've got Ben Chilwell and we've got this wonderful young player in the youth team, Lewis Hall. He's brilliant. Yeah. He looks great. He loses his head a bit on finishing and all that, but that'll come. He's a young player. You know, why buy another player that you've already got? All you do is block Lewis Hall's pathway. Yeah. As soon as Chilwell's fit, you've now got two left backs and you've got a young player that you have to send out on loan. That's nonsense. The same with the boy they bought yesterday from Monaco. He might be a brilliant player, but you've already got Colwell at Brighton. Why buy the same player for a lot of money when you've already got the player who costs nothing? And I think that needs to improve massively, that link between, you know, and the pathway. But that was the one
that's often
thing.
Been a problem at Chelsea.
Yeah,
though,
but one thing about Frank Lampard, which was great, and they reaped the benefit of that after that, with winning the Champions League, is that he had to use those young players and Reece James and people
because of the transfer ban.
Mount and those got experience, and that's in a way, you know, you think actually the way you're spending money, wasting money, if we do get a FFP ban, it'd probably be a good thing.
City are not quite at it yet, really,
no,
are they?
I don't think they are. Last year, City came to our place with a much better Chelsea team, and they trounced us. I mean, 1-0, but they trounced us.
Yeah,
very much like the Arsenal game this year, where Arsenal were brilliant, but only won 1-0. Yesterday, I thought, not really. For me, it's not quite happening for them. First off, they moved the ball so slowly. They played right into Chelsea's hands. And, yeah, I think they could have. Chelsea were worth a point last night. Didn't get it, but there you go. And it was a strange goal, though. Kepa, what are you doing?
Yeah, why doesn't he? He seems to hesitate, doesn't he?
I don't know what.
Why
that
are you
was.
Hesitating?
No, I don't know.
It was strange. Anyway, it was I won't be buying the DVD, but it was intriguing. And as I said, I thought you deserve something out of it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We did ask you about your charity shop finds off the back of a Harry Maguire shirt popping up in a Manchester charity shop, a signed one. And Alan Leeds says, my mum gave my signed Leeds Charity Shield shirt away to the shop as it was covered in writing.
Oh, brilliant.
Still cross many years later, says Al. Random finds. Adam says, I found...
Not Ranulph finds.
No, not Ranulph finds. Sir Random Finds. Yeah,
I felt quite guilty. He was Sunday Times, Life in the Day.
Show,
and, I was reading it like, on last Sunday.
He's an incredible man, isn't he?
He is an incredible man.
Not according to Andy Jacobs.
I can't believe I said to him, what's the point?
Yeah, he said, Sir Ranulph, it is lovely to meet you, and you've travelled around the world and taken on these many great challenges, you know.
Antarctica.
And he said, but with respect, what's the point? And he said, well, I've raised about £25 million for charity. Well, that's a pretty decent
that's
point.
Fair enough, really.
Only Andy could have a pop at a man who had a frostbitten finger, so went up the shed and hacked it off. Only Andy could find fault, really.
That was the good end of his umpiring career.
Yeah, that's very true. Good job he didn't have a go at Chelsea. That would have been a bit of a disaster all round. So we're going to be chatting with John Fashanu very, very shortly. Dancing on Ice, old school strikers and memories of the FA Cup.
I hope Fash doesn't put in a sliding challenge on Jane Torvill.
It would be two-footed.
Yeah, with those skates.
It would be a great idea, wouldn't it? Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, a number of unfancied sides will be heading into the third round this weekend, dreaming of Wembley. And because fairy tales do happen.
They do.
As they did, as our old mate Motti said, when the Crazy Gang beat the Culture Club back in 1988, Wimbledon versus Liverpool. And we'll touch on that as we talk about his appearance on Dancing in Ice with the former Dons striker.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John Fashanu. Good afternoon, Fash.
Hey, good afternoon. Is that Paul or Andy?
It's both of us. Yeah, it's Paul coming, hey. And he'll be coming up in a minute.
Yeah, so. You'll hear me. I sound a bit croaky.
He's got a bit of a cold, but bear with us. So look, let's deal with the dancing first, John. How did this all come about? I take it you must get approached for quite a lot of this sort of reality TV stuff.
Well, guys, you know, I must admit, I've been approached for so many different shows. I mean, how on earth I got to be approached for I'm a Celebrity? Remember, I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. And I came second years ago. It's just never stopped. So this was something a little bit different. You know, Fash has played football all my life, and I thought, well, let me just venture into something a little bit different. I didn't know it was going to be quite as hard as this, to be quite honest. I mean, Dancing on Ice, what the heck am I doing here? I don't know.
could you skate before? Have you had to really go back to basics?
Oh, Andy, Paul, skate? I couldn't even spell the word. What are you talking about? I'm a footballer, bro. No, I could not skate at all. And I've been here now. I'm back. You know, I rescheduled back to Nigeria. So I'm actually living in Nigeria.
Oh, right.
I've been in England 3 months, and we've been every day apart from Saturday and Sunday. We have been training.
Wow.
And I mean really hard. Because obviously, if you fall over on the ice, it's not the same as falling over at Wembley.
Mm.
So, you know, it's been a hard transition, but I must say, I think I can do it. I'm ready for it now.
And one advantage you've got is that great competitive spirit. So if you can get the technical side of it, you could do well.
Well, you're being a bit kind. I was going to say that crazy spirit, but you know, I mean, when the crazy gang go, you know, we kick. So maybe I am a little bit crazy. I think we've had so far two celebrities who have broken their wrist. One has broken their kneecap. So it's not quite as easy as I thought.
No, it can be dangerous, that show. Yeah, you do have to be careful.
Yeah.
I would think I would go a little bit stronger than that. I wouldn't say it can be dangerous. I'll say it's always dangerous.
Yeah. Who's your partner, Fash? Who's been helping you out then?
I have a fantastic young lady called, she's so fantastic, I nearly forgot her name, called Jane.
Yes.
And she is a Alex.
Oh, okay.
Jane, yeah. She was last week. Yeah. Alex, she's amazing, absolutely amazing. She's very patient, and that's what you got to be when you've got somebody like myself who's 6'3" on the ice rink. It doesn't go.
No, absolutely.
Very, very difficult.
Have you got your own skates? Well, you don't have to hire them, do you?
I wouldn't think so. He gives his shoes in before every show and gets a pair of skates. I don't think he works
I'm
like
using
that.
Vinnie Jones' skates.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. Extra sharp, I would imagine.
Yeah. So you can imagine what a slide tackle will be like.
Yeah.
We were talking about that.
So when do you start then? When's the first show?
We start next week. Right. I've been here 3 months now. You have to. I mean, it's mandatory that you have a coach that will train you so you don't break your neck or break your skull or something like that. But I'm on the show, Dancing on Ice. I only think I know of David Seaman at Arsenal, of course, who was on Dancing on Ice, and he did okay. But other than that, I don't think many footballers have been dancing on ice.
No, have you mastered the triple axel and the double salchow?
Wow. Yeah, yet again, my spelling is not too good.
Yeah. So, as we said, happy memories of the FA Cup. I was looking back on that 1998 run for Wimbledon to get to the final. And I wouldn't say it would look plain sailing and all that, but still, you didn't have to. You had no replays on the way. I don't know if you remember all this, Fesh. You kicked off, you beat West Brom in the third round, pretty comfortable win, and you kind of never looked back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was an amazing run we had. And I've got to say, you know, at the end of the day, Dennis Wise, the little rat we used to call him, Wisey, he was the one who came up with the idea of all of us not showering, not having any shower. Now, it seems like, well, that's bloody crazy. But in actual fact, once you've gone sort of up to 3-4 weeks of not having a shower and you've not shaved, you've not cut your head, you feel like a monster. So I noticed that our temperaments of all the players, because I was captain then with Laurie Sanchez, we realised that we were actually getting very, we don't care, that sort of attitude. We'll go out onto the pitch and we're ready to do anything. Some tackles will be a little bit tougher than normal. And some of the tackles that I would have normally run away from, I was ready to go into it because I hadn't showered, I hadn't washed, I felt angry. And it worked. It was amazing.
I look forward to you being unshowered in the final of Dancing
That's
on Ice.
Right. You're going to go for a couple of months and not showering.
I don't think my partner would like that too much. No, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Now, Fesh, since your days, we've been going through, you know, false nines and sort of little strikers. We don't have big man, little man anymore. But the kind of old school striker is sort of back in vogue with Haaland and Mitrovic and players like that, aren't they?
Well, I mean, football is a circle. It goes round and round. I mean, let's be honest, there can't be too many changes in the game of football. So, you know, it's obvious that after a little while, I was in vogue. But just before myself and my late brother, Justin, who was, of course, was a number nine as well, there were small, you know, the fast players. But it just keeps changing. I mean, the game is, I just can't believe the game now. I mean, you've got some softies on here. The hard man attitude has gone. So possibly myself, Vinnie Jones, people like us, we wouldn't have been relative now.
Yeah, I mean, I think you probably would have picked up a few more cards, I would imagine. I mean, it'd be interesting. When they do this now, they re-referee games from the past, don't they? And they look at how many cards. I mean, even in your final, I think there probably would have been a couple of reds against Liverpool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think so. I think so. I mean, that was our aim. If you don't get the ball, make sure you get the leg. Yeah. So it was quite straightforward. We didn't hide that at all.
Yeah. And you still, do you get to games, John? You still sort of follow in the game as you always did?
Amazingly, I can't, you know, I mean, once you're a footballer, you know, you are a footballer. You can't stop being a footballer. I have a beautiful sports academy, which I've built in Nigeria, in Abuja, the federal capital, where I have so many talented players. It's just, it's frightening. But of course, now, because I've just been, I was down to Wimbledon. I'm sure you probably have heard that I was made the ambassador for Wimbledon Football Club. So now we have a little bit of a one-way street where I can sort of show them one or two of our players in Africa and bring some of our players over.
That is very useful for the club, isn't it? Very and you say useful. you're finding that. I mean, it's always been a country that has produced great, great players. So I'm not surprised. You've got some good young kids coming through.
Well, the beauty of Nigeria is it's twofold. It's one that you've got wonderful players, but then the question is, can they play together? We are amazing individually. Some of the Nigerian players are just, you know, and I've been in the game 35 years, so nothing really shocks me. When I saw the players coming out of Nigeria, I was just amazed. But playing together as a team, that sometimes is a challenge for Nigeria. Right. But some of the players coming over will be coming over to Nigeria, to England, sorry, and other countries. And I think we're blessed to have one or two good players.
Brilliant. Well, we'll look out for those. And we wish you well in Dancing on Ice.
Oh, yeah. Best of luck with
thanks for joining us. Yeah.
Well, please vote for me. We're going to win that with a bit of, should we say, a little bit of good luck.
Okay.
Good. Stay safe.
Cheers.
Good.
All the best.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, yeah, Andy. Yeah.
John Fashanu there.
Yeah, it's a dangerous show. It's not quite as dangerous as that. What was the one, the skiing show? That was a real...
Oh, yeah, was it? Was it one that Goffey
they
did?
They could have
was
called it,
it
Injurious Celebrity.
Or was it the Goffey one? Was it called the Games? Was it that one? Or was it? I can't remember.
Skiing jumping.
The jump. That was it.
Thank
I suppose
you.
Oh, actually, yes. I suppose the clue
producer's favourite programme.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah, he did. He wanted the jump back. Yeah. Now, Fashi's dance partner is Alexander Shellman, who appears in a very famous clip that we played you at Christmas. So
if we can
hunt that down before we head off to the news and sport, we will. It did involve Goffey, actually. And it was when Dominic Cork was on, his old England teammate, was on Dancing on Ice. And they were interviewing Corky and, indeed, Alexandra. And this is what Goffey had to say. I had a question for her.
Anyway, enough of Corky. I'd rather speak to his partner, Alexandra Shellman. Where are you from?
I'm from Finland.
Finland. Yeah. You speak Finnish?
I'd like to think so. I'd like to think she can get by in it, really. There we are. You're going to have to wait till next Christmas to hear that again.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. We mentioned earlier on one of Harry Maguire's shirts had popped up in a signed one, Manchester United. Not a Manchester United charity shop, a Manchester charity shop. And you're telling us about some...
They're raising money for transfers.
Tell me your charity shop finds. Adam, we never got round to this one. I found an old away shirt in a frame, which was selling for £5. Randomly signed by goalkeeper Chris Woods. As far as I remember, never played for Oldham, did he? Complete with a cartoon goalkeeper stick man. Says, that's a very weird one. But the frame was probably worth more than the shirt, an Oldham shirt signed by a bloke who never played for them. I'm a New York Jets fan, found a brand new, still labelled, official Jets jersey for £4.50 in our local shop. Unfortunately, it had legendary draft bust Christian Hackenberg emblazoned across the back. Well, you can't have it all, can you?
That's why. Like a Marx Brothers character.
Yeah, I think it is. Hackenback indeed, yeah. My mum... Oh, yeah, we did that one.
I'm hacking back.
Yeah, you're hacking... Oh, you're hacking back now.
I am.
Once claimed a Wallabies beanie signed by David Campese in a charity shop I was volunteering in. A great find as a rugby player / fan. Brackets, refused to take staff discount, says Elwin. I should think so, Elwin, as well. Yeah, definitely.
Now, another injury for Emma Raducanu. I think she's using Chelsea's medical department.
Give her a break. She was upset. You've got a young girl crying and that's the first thing you think. She's broken. She had so many injuries. Been very... Very, very unlucky.
Yeah, no, it's very unfortunate. And I showed you earlier Brooklyn Beckham's Instagram video of him making a Sunday lunch.
You've told me about his videos before, but I've never watched one before. So
honestly, basically, the other bloke's doing all the cooking.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn's just putting loads of butter in a bowl.
It's a video of them making a Sunday roast, and he's with a mate, or who we take it as a cook. He's doing all the heavy lifting, and then occasionally Brooklyn says, chuck in some butter. I mean, obviously, did make the point to him, didn't you? He said, could you chuck a bit more butter in? I don't think my arteries are clogged up enough.
Congratulations to the other bloke for doing the cooking.
If he was going for a job, I don't think he could go for a job as a cook, but he makes a very good butter hurler, doesn't he? He's got that technique. The guy's with him is a little bit Who was your mate, the butcher from Istanbul?
Oh, yeah.
Salt Bay. Yeah, he's got a bit of the Salt Bay about his sprinkling technique, isn't he, really? It was all a bit strange.
Very, very nice. There was a letter to the staff about Frank Lampard. Honestly, this is brilliant, isn't it? If Frank Lampard loses his job at Everton, maybe he'll see his future in television. He'd be brilliant on Strictly or I'm a Celeb. I'm sure that's just what he wants.
Here we go.
That's why I did his badges.
Yeah, I've got the info. Replays will be mandatory in all rounds of the qualifying competition and the competition proper from the first round proper up to and including the fourth round proper.
So they're back.
But I think they did it because of fixture congestion and because of the World Cup. I was wondering whether they'd done that again. But there will be replays because it is such a cash cow for a lot of the sides, isn't it?
That's true, actually.
If they do manage to get a replay, it can be very lucrative, and that's partly what the FA Cup at this stage is all about. So, yeah, a replay's up to the fourth round.
There's a row going on between the two blokes who want to claim being the world's tallest man. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
It's incredible. One of the blokes is 9'6".
I mean, I'd say they could stand back to back, but they're probably in different continents, aren't
they? I think they are, actually. One of them is in Ghana.
Yeah.
And the other bloke is in Turkey. He's 8'3".
Yeah.
And he holds the Guinness Book of Records. And the other chap, Abdul Samad from Ghana, has reached 9'6".
Well, he sounds taller than me. I'm no expert.
I was thinking of signing both of them, really. It'd be great at set plays.
It'd be fantastic, wouldn't they? Hold it up, back to goal. The sort of Weghorst envelope, Chris Woods. I mean, Newcastle could sign him, wouldn't they? Really?
They could.
9'6".
I know, it is big.
Yeah, that is.
Understatement. What,
has he got good feet, do we know?
I have no idea. It'd
be quite difficult to think. That'd be the ultimate. Andy, do you own a, are you a slippers wearer?
No.
You're not? You ever been a slippers? Why do you say it like that, with a look of disgust in your face?
I'm old. I'm not that old.
What's wrong with that? I mean, necessarily. Anyway, slippers
Pipe
are back.
Slippers.
Kids are wearing slippers. They're going to be all over TikTok soon, which I know you frequent.
I'll have to get a pair then.
7 out of 10 people aged 25 to 40. Oh, suddenly you're interested. You're such a fashion victim.
I did have a pair of those sort of burgundy ones with a sheepskin lining at one point.
Did you?
But I didn't really like them. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Never got on with them, really.
Fair enough. I wish I hadn't started this. Seven out of ten. I bring it up because the kids are buying slippers. It's not what you'd expect. 7 out of 10 people. I'm going to stop saying 7 out of 10 in a minute. Age 25 to 40 own a pair of slippers. So there it doesn't take you. You are listening to TalkSport.
I'm fascinated with social media. Tony Bellew, the boxing legend, as it says here.
Yeah.
He basically was complaining to his local council. He tweeted about potholes. He nearly had an accident with his potholes. And like a lot of people, he thinks, you know, it'd be quite useful to fix them. This was his other view on social media. Other drivers slammed Bellew on social media. One said, maybe drive error more than anything here, Tony. What? Potholes? Yeah. Drive round them, Stirling Moss, said Jez Wyke.
Well, say that to his face, guys.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sports. We'll be looking ahead to Manchester United Everton. We'll commentate to Jim Proudfoot a little bit later on. We've got Todd Macklin joining us, as we said, after a difficult week in the NFL. And you've been giving us your Italian darts players off the fantastic bit of Italian darts commentary we brought you earlier on. Garibaldi Anderson says, Paul the Blade in Sheffield. Do you like that one? Roman Van Barneveld and Phil Tagliatelle. Mark in Belfast.
I like this one. Cliff Lazanyarenko.
That's very good. Well done, Rich. That's very good. Yeah, and somebody, Dick in Devon, gives us Nocky Wilson, which is the one you started with. So maybe he switched off at that point. Thank you, Dick. But it's a very good one, but it's been taken. Anyway.
He's doing the birthday spread next week.
What a week of sport on TV it's been, or has it? Let's find out. Martin Kellner joins us. Good afternoon, Martin.
Good afternoon to you, boys. Yeah, certainly has been a week of sport on TV. Yeah. The darts, I suspect, has been chewed over on Talk Sport. I thought it was quite interesting that the timing of it, that brilliant seven darter by Michael Smith in that amazing leg of the darts, it came at exactly half time in the Arsenal Newcastle match. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I don't watch that much darts, but I was watching Arsenal Newcastle, switched over, obviously, at half time. Look at the darts and caught that. And of course, Wayne Mardle with his little tribute to rugby league, I can't speak.
Yes,
I can't speak. The famous Mick Morgan quote from the Castle Wigan commentary. Brilliant. I mean, that was, whatever sport was on this week, that was definitely the sporting moment of the week on TV. But I'll tell you what, I watched I watched two documentaries. One about a Brazilian footballer who played an awful lot of games, and we're talking about Pelé.
Yeah.
The other one about a Brazilian footballer who became something of a personality, something of a star, didn't play any games at all.
Yeah.
Do you know that story?
We do, Kaiser. Yeah. When the film came out, we spoke to the people behind it, and there's a book of it as well, which is fascinating. But it's worth retelling the story because it's quite unbelievable, isn't it, really?
It is. It's a remarkable story. I wasn't familiar with it. They sort of did a trailer for it in the Sunday Times, and I thought, I must watch this, see what it's all about. I paid £3.99 for it on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
I was that keen to get it.
Stuck your neck out there. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can watch it on YouTube. So that's a bit of a word to the wise there. There's the trailer and everything, which tells the whole story, which is basically this guy who looked like a footballer.
Yeah.
By the way, the documentary is called Kaiser. Don't confuse it with a documentary called Der Kaiser, which is a fairly dull documentary about Franz Beckenbauer.
Right, okay.
This one is much more interesting because the guy sort of built up a network of friends. And by so doing, he was able to sort of infiltrate, find his way into... he played for all the top teams in Brazil, but didn't play a moment. What he did was he would go to training because he looked a bit like a footballer and he was friends with footballers and looked really good in a sort of tiny pair of yellow Speedos. Lots of shots of that on the beach. So he had the sort of he was into the footballer's lifestyle, if you like, and he would make these friends. He would go to training, do the physical training, and then when it came to something, you know, some actual football, he would feign injury. Apparently, his injury of choice was a fake hamstring tear.
Oh, wow. It's quite a few players playing now, especially around Christmas, can call upon one of those.
Yeah. So there was a lot of that. But, you know, they loved him. People like Carlos Alberto and Bebeto. Yeah,
he signed him, didn't he? Carlos Alberto signed him.
Realised him.
I mean, a bloke with a good eye for a player. Or signed him, realised he was terrible, got rid of him. But then he used it as a calling card from then on, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And he played in France. I won't say played in France. He joined a team in France. Carlos Alberto said he was good with coconuts, not the ball. The ball was his weakness. He wouldn't even get into a kickabout on the beach. I mean, it's a story that will never happen again. But there was no Google, there was no internet. And as far as injury went, there was no MRI scans. Those things didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing story. And he built a whole... a lovable rogue, I think. I thought it was quite interesting watching this, and I've been watching the programme Stonehouse on ITV, you know, all about John Stonehouse who faked his own death on the beach in Miami. I'm sure Mike Ward will talk about that. But watching this, it's amazing how much we love a lovable rogue and what a great story it is. Basically, the players never ratted on him. The teams never ratted on him, simply because he was a party animal. He provided girls for the players, you know, or parties, whatever. In fact, he said his hobby was sex. Just a hobby, really.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay. He obviously didn't have a shed to go down to, did he?
Probably not. No.
That was
his hobby.
Yeah.
Well, maybe the shed figured in it.
Yeah.
But that was his hobby. And he says, because he's interviewed in the whole thing, which is the great thing about it. You know, he's now around about 60 years old. He was interviewed. He says, I have the disease they say Michael Douglas has.
Right.
Which
hope he expanded on that.
Yes, well, it reminded me of that film with Will Ferrell, Blades of Glory, the ice skating film. If you ever saw that?
Yes.
When Will Ferrell's character says, "Well, I'm a sex addict. It's a proper illness these days, you know. They have doctors and everything."
that line from Carlos Alberto did sound like, remember when Peter Cook played Alan Latchley, the made-up football manager on Clive Anderson's show. And it's the sort of thing he would have said, you know, the Kaiser was a magnificent player until He touched the ball. When he touched, it all went wrong when the ball came out. It would be
totally. Yeah.
Well, so you can get it for free, Martin. This one you can.
I think you can get bits of it for free YouTube, but it's only £3.99 on Amazon Prime. So it's
we're more or less out of time. And I know you'd want to talk about the Pelé. I mean, there's been a number of Pelé documentaries. Which is the one
on Netflix? I think is the one to watch. And again, similar to, I love the honesty of Pelé. There's some great scenes in it, brilliant scenes. And when he gets together with all his old Santos mates, you know, and he's in a wheelchair.
Seen that documentary. It's really, really good, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a fantastic documentary. It's a really well-made piece of, well-made film. And anyway, it showed at cinemas and everything. Pelé, similar to Kaiser and also Michael Douglas, he's asked, was it, you know, as part of the interview, was it hard to remain faithful with girls throwing themselves at you all the time? And his answer to that is yes.
Yeah,
it's commendable honesty.
Yes,
was it his hobby?
He
made it his work. I know he didn't.
It was his work eventually.
Well, good to talk to you, Martin. You're back overnight, I take it.
I am indeed. 1 a.m. and I'll talk a little bit more about that Pelé thing then.
Fantastic. Okay. Tune in 1 a.m. Overnight tonight and tomorrow. Cheers, Martin. Thanks very much.
Okay, no worries.
Martin Kellner there with a week of sport on TV. We've got some more clips of the week to come. We said 23. I think we've had 18s and 20s, and that we cut a lot out as well. That was because it was 2-3 weeks worth. So
I do like this one from Nick Reynolds, though. Italian darts player Rob Crostini.
Rob Crostini, yeah, Nick. That is very good. Yes. Did we mention Nocky Wilson? I think we did. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. Come on, let's have your Italian darts players.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show as it all unfolded. We'll be back on Monday, looking back on the FA Cup weekend, all the giant killings, etc., like Chelsea beating City. I'm sure Danny Kelly will be joining us for that, all the Monday regulars. Do hope you can join us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all those cup games on TalkSport.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.